Maranatha Youth Ranch, and we're grateful for their faithfulness over the years. And we're going to be hearing from one of those brethren, Brother Earl. Note, now it's a K, but there is in eastern Pennsylvania, there's a theme park. It's a lot cheaper than a lot of the other theme parks. You don't have to pay to go in, no admission fee. It's called Knoebels Grove, spelled K-N-O. When a brother came to that area and announced they were going to have a fellowship for the church up at Knoebels Grove, he pronounced it Knoebels Grove. And somebody said, that's Knoebels. He said, oh, I didn't know that. But Brother Earl is not Brother Knoebels, but Brother Note. Yeah, we're glad for you, brother. Come and preach the word of God to us.
I found a new tool. Actually, my wife found it. If you're interested in looking at it after I'm done preaching, it's a hymnal that has all the scripture references for each line of music that's there. And then if there's not a reference, it's just not there. But it's really interesting to use this as a part of my ministry at the nursing home and in the pulpit and here at camp. So if you want to look at this later on, you're welcome to it. I might pick a song out of it or two to reference to the message. This world is not my home. If you'll turn with me to John 17, we'll get started here. There's no use delaying. And now I've been asked to remark if I tell jokes, and certain person is, I don't notice them sitting here, but I was joking with them at the breakfast table and had them laughing, and they had me laughing. So if you're from Canada here and you enjoy jokes, we were having a good one with I believe it's Tammy. Over there at the breakfast table. She's a lot of fun. But I'm glad all of you are here. The camp is much bigger than the July camp, and it makes it a blessing when the motels are full. But we do have a trailer park here. The trailer park people are over here, and the campers are over here. So Lem and I are over there, and so if you want to know what that's all about, you just talk to Lem. He'll tell you. And he'll fill you in. All right, that's the trailer side of the camping here. And so that's my joke. Chapter 17, verse 1 of John. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour is come." And that's a key phrase. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time to just share the Lord's Prayer here before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, before he goes to trial, before he goes to the cross, Lord. But he has been preparing his heart and he's just pouring his heart out. It's what I learned in prayer this morning. I learned something in prayer about this prayer. And he's literally pouring his heart out. And Lord, I know how you poured your heart out for me to be saved, and that how you are keeping me, Lord. It is an experience in life that begins with salvation, and then it follows you through till you call us home, Lord. But it is a part of the gift of eternal life, and it is also a part of the gladness that we find in this prayer, Lord. And it is also a part of the love we find in this prayer, but it is also the power that's found in this prayer. And Lord, there's so much in this prayer that I need to share with the dear brethren here this morning. Just help me step aside, allow your word to minister to my heart and my soul, and have a conscious awareness of what is being presented in the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I've been preaching this and working with it. I wanted to work with the Lord's Prayer at the nursing home, ended up, haven't preached it there yet. It's been used in several pulpits, but I haven't been able to get it into the nursing home yet because I take turns with my preachers. We have a pecking order where I allow them to preach as much as I preach. And so we just have to have it'll come around to me here eventually, and I'll eventually preach it in the nursing home. But I'm really blessed with people in the Faith Baptist Church there in Copley, with young men who want to preach, young adult men who want to preach, and they street preach, they door knock. They are really active with the gospel. They minister in the nursing home. They minister to one another. They minister. And so it's interesting how many people of varied walks of life come into the church cold turkey and want to get saved because of their influence. And so some have come into the church, and I know it's not a really concentrated thing of coming into the church like it was a number of years ago. There were numerous people being saved. It's just here and there. And so they just come in, and some of them just come in cold turkey, and then they want to get saved. And that is really unusual in this Laodicean church age. This is just remarkable. But regardless of that, there are others that come in because they've been well witnessed to, they've been well prayed for, and they also get saved. And in our church, you don't just get saved and be baptized and join the church. After that, we disciple our members, and also we also have them invite them to go through the institute in the winter months so that they can have a concentrated understanding of the King James Bible and what the Lord's saying to us. And so we take a break in the winter months, and then we hit the streets and corners in the doors and service stations and wherever we can go with the gospel. All right. So this is amazing prayer, isn't it? This is the great intercessory prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he literally is pouring his heart out. But he's not praying this prayer without knowing the Father's will. He's praying this prayer on the... can I get away from this thing? Oh. Now try it. Okay. Thank you. See, he takes care of me. That's that trailer park deal over there. If you want to take taken care of, you got to go over there. No, I'm just kidding. Anyhow, I lost my train of thought there. This great intercessory prayer, he knows the Father's will. He's not ignorant of it all. And that's where we get caught up. We get caught up in the ignorance. But he is not ignorant of the Father's will. And he's basing this prayer on the grounds of the Father's will. He knows the Father's will. And it's amazing what he teaches us here in prayer. We can literally seek out the Father's will and know what the Father has in store for, what the Lord has in store for us. And so we need to be know the will of God, don't we, in our lives, and to know how to discern that. And this prayer helps us with that tremendously. In the first 8 verses, you have the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows the Father's will. In verses 9 through 13, he has the preservation of his apostles, excluding the preservation of Judas Iscariot. And he says that right there in verse 12, "When I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. These that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition," that's Judas Iscariot, "that the scripture might be fulfilled." So we know that he also wants to handle our sanctification. Did you know he has the power to sanctify you one time? But that sanctification, you can't let it lay.
You've got to take the best that God gives you and apply it to your own life. Amen. And live the sanctified life. If you don't believe me, I'll preach that to you sometime. I did that last camp. And so also on down through there, that's the verses 14 through 20 is the sanctified life. But in 21 and 22, we have the union of the body of Christ, the unity. And he's praying for the church. So he's praying for you and I also in verse 20. And but then he prays for his apostles in verse 6. He prays for us in verse 20. And then he also prays for the church. And so we know that that's the unity. And then the last thing in the prayer is the glorification. And so we know that verses 23 through 26 is the glorification that is spoken of here in the prayer. And you know what? It's a marvelous prayer. I broke it down for you because I don't know how far I'll get with it. But I do want you to understand that the gladness is found in verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You see, salvation is a joy. It doesn't matter what the tribulation is, the trials, the experience, the circumstances, the mountaintop, the valley. It doesn't matter. There's joy in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world does not understand this prayer. It does not understand your salvation. The world has nothing to do with your salvation. It's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you missed that in the message last night, you were sleeping on the job. And you don't want to do that with Dr. Dickerson. I was writing down as fast as I could and trying to keep up with all he was telling me. And I don't know how much of it I got, but I got enough to pray about here this morning and pray intelligently what he was dealing with there in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Romans. And boy, what a blessing to have him here this week. I'm glad he's here. I'm glad these other pastors are here. I have never met these men. And then that man's Jay. Is that right? Nope. Jay. Gene. Shane. I see my hearing's not as good as it should be. And then Bill. All right. Shane and Bill. I have to learn names. And I'm glad some more have come in. But this prayer is it just blesses my soul that I know that the Lord was praying for me and that he knew me before for the foundation of the world. Amen. And one of the fascinating verses here and important for you to memorize is verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. This is all introduction. Only true God. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So we discussed that in prayer this morning too. So I was almost satisfied not to preach the message and move on. No, I'm kidding. But we know that we should pray. And then I was blessed to hear some of the things that was prayed about this. You pray for Brother Underwood. He gets the next hour, and so pray for him. He'll be in the book of Luke, and he's a marvelous preacher. I love to hear him preach. So let's continue on here. And then the next thing I want you to notice before I continue with the message, and in verse 5, and now, O Father, now notice the depth of this prayer. Notice the predeterminate knowledge and all that is out of our reach except through the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and in indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Well, the Lord's good to us, isn't he?
You see, he was being good to his disciples. He's being good to you. He's being good to the church. He prayed this before he goes to trial. He prayed it after he had a place promised for us to be in heaven in John 14. He prayed and warning us that you can do none of these things I'm praying in this prayer. You can have no part of it except you abide in me. And then that's John 15, verse 5, the very last thing he says, that you're not going to bear any fruit unless you abide in me, the vine. And then John 15, verse 5, the very last part of that verse. And so he's been preparing us all the time. And he knows what he's doing with this prayer. It's just that I have never preached this or attempted to preach it because I found it so personal and so it seemed to be so private and so divine. And I wasn't so sure how to handle the great intercessory work of our Lord Jesus Christ because it's beyond me. But he seems to be able to work with us no matter what the circumstances are, even if we're lost. He seems to take that power and intercede on our behalf in order that not only we could be saved, but also that we could follow him and be his servants. And so we see here, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. And that's a key phrase that I'll keep picking on because the hour is certainly come for you and I here. And I'll get to that. In the perfect will of the Father, the Lord looks to heaven. You know, when we prayed here this morning, we didn't look to heaven. We bowed our heads and humbled ourselves to this intercessory Lord, this intercessory Savior, this intercessory Messiah, this King. And then we also know that he is not only the great intercessor here, he's the great high priest. This is his high priestly prayer. But I also learned, as I said, he's pouring his heart out to the Father. And man, he's doing it not just for his apostles, but he's doing it for you and I in verse 20, verse 6 for the apostles, and then for the church in verses 21 and 22. He has got it together, seeking out the will of the Father, and he's praying on the will of the Father, on the ground of the will of the Father. And this prayer is, he's just pouring his heart out. The Lord looks to heaven and addresses the Father. He wants to be in the divine presence of the Father. So it is a divine high priestly prayer, intercessory prayer. He wants to pray on the grounds that he knows the will of the Father. And so you see that in Hebrews 10:9. I'll just share that with you real quick. Hebrews 10:9. Keep me honest, right? We have to be honest when we're in the pulpit, don't we? And so we know that we search the scriptures. And let's, just like I said, if you want to see some more of the tools that I use, here's a new one. Look at this for yourselves if you'd like. You'll enjoy that. And so we search the scriptures, don't we? And 10:9 says it this way. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Right on, right in text, isn't it? Right there. You can just see him praying, can't you? He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. See? But there is a progression of that sanctification in the saved life. Don't just take it once for all. Just praise the Lord. It's once for all. And then begin to build on the sanctified life. I am crucified with what? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. So it is a verse on sanctification, isn't it? And that's after
He sanctified you. Psalm 40, verse 8. Psalm 40, verse 8. I've got a bad habit of using a book that has the Psalms in the back. Sorry about that. It's fun to have that habit, but it's not, doesn't work with this Bible. And it says here, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And he kept the law perfectly, didn't he? Amen. Not one blemish, not one fault. He kept it perfectly. How did he do that? Because he is Almighty God. He's the great intercessor. He's the great high priest here. This is his great intercessory prayer. This is his high priestly prayer. But he also so is Almighty God here, isn't he? He's wonderful, isn't he? The hour has come. I told you I'd get to that. The Son's glory by the Father. And notice what it says here in the last part of that verse. The whole outline is on that first verse because I've never gotten any further with the prayer. I've gotten through the whole prayer, but I've never gotten past that verse as far as outlining goes. The hour has come to glorify the Son, and the Son may glorify the Father. The hour has come to glorify the Son. That is to say, to have the honor he is sent from the Father. Do you know that he was honored to be life? Life for you and I. He was honored to be the Savior. He was honored to be the Messiah of the nation of Israel. And so he was honored. He was sent from the Father, and also to have the honor, he is life. Verse 3. You memorize that verse, all right? He is life. And this is life eternal, that they might know that the only true God and the Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We didn't look that verse up this morning when we were praying. We just quoted it. I mean, you can quote it. It'll keep you honest with the Lord's prayer. It's a divine prayer. It's his high priestly prayer. It is his great intercessory prayer. And he's praying for you and I here in verse 20 of that prayer. And so we know, and more specifically, Jesus is in verse 5, asked the Father to restore the glory the Son had with the Father before the world was. And so we know that this first verse opens up the prayer, doesn't it? He asked, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. It's a two-way street because the Father and the Son are one. And so how do we figure this out? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. I don't know. I've never been able to figure it out. I just know it's true because it's presented doctrinally in truth in the Scriptures. And so it is true. I've had the Muslims try and persuade me that it's at fault. And that we are in error to preach that and teach that and honor that. And they even wanted to film me one time so that they could use it against us to glorify their prophet, Muhammad, and there's no glory in him at all. All the glory that you examine in this prayer is the glory that the Lord Jesus Christ has with the Father before the world was. And so we know one final honor Jesus was seeking was to go home. He wanted to go home. The hour has come. Are you ready to go home? Because he was preparing himself to go home. That's why I titled the message, This world is not my home. I know it's a song, but this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And somebody mentioned treasures last night in the message, and I was thrilled because we have great treasures. Amen. Treasures that cannot be touched by this world. And you will carry those treasures with you for all eternity. Did you know that the eternity that you have in darkness as a unconverted, unregenerated human being, you're still a human being? Do you know that when you pass out of this life into that darkness for all eternity, you cannot see one another? You can hear the cries and the pain and the torment, but you cannot see one another. It is complete pitch darkness. And if you don't think I know what I'm talking about, I used to be a caver. I used to love going down underground. And they would turn the lights off and you would be in pitch darkness for about, oh, maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes. And anything beyond that, like for 2 hours, you would go insane. Careful where you go in pitch darkness. And so the sanity of being saved is sanity. There's another joke for you. Anyhow, the final honor Jesus was seeking was to go home. This world is not my home. John 13:1 says it like this. And I'm sorry, John 13:1 says it like this. Wrong 13 there. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. See, he never lost sight of that. And he was very consistent with that. Because you know what? He knew the Father's will the whole time. But now he's specifically praying. I mean, he's really intense. That he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And I got to watch the time, don't I? Don't have my phone. I have 23 till, is that good? All right. I'll keep going here. We'll get as much of this out as we can. There's several of these, the hours come. Let's go to the next one. We'll skip the rest of that. But I can give you some references here. It's Acts 1:9. That's a beauty, isn't it? Go to that one. And then John 17:13 here. The very first part. And now come I to thee. And now come I to thee. All right. The hour is come. Another one. The Son's glory. And it's all in that first verse. The hour is come. The Son's glory of the Father. Well, what's the difference? The Son's glory of the Father is with his cross. Amen. Yes. With his cross. John 17:4. He says it like this. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Christ gets the glory. Christ gets the glory. The Son's glory of the Father is with his cross. You can go to Isaiah 53:12. I have preached that. That's a marvelous passage, Isaiah 53. 1 Corinthians 1:17-18. That's a good reference. And then there's 38 words I count the words. Do you know how to make your mind cooperate to memorize Scripture? Because mine is lazy. Mine is. And so I have to play with things for my mind to be prompted. And so one of the things that I do is I count the words. And so there's 38 words in Hebrews 12:2, and it reads like this. This is pretty interesting how Jesus was working with this prayer. And of course, at that time, we didn't have this translation we're working with, did we? But now we do. Because of those who the Lord sanctified, imagine that, that they would write and preserve his word for you and I. And so you see here in chapter 12 of Hebrews, it's like this, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm telling you, I got preached well to last night. I mean, if I couldn't preach this, I told him in prayer, I'm in trouble. Because I was well preached to last night. And then I found out with Dr. Lucilius, Pastor Koenig, Dr. Dickerson, Dr. Finnegan, all these men that I've grown up under, if I was well preached to, I could preach. I could be a witness. I could maintain a testimony. I could do the work in the nursing home. I started out in high school lost. But notice what it says there. Again, let's just read it again. It's fun, isn't it, to read that something that is so marvelous and so precious to our own souls concerning this prayer. Wherefore, seeing we all are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Is there any patience in this camp? I believe there is. And looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is what the Son's glory does for the Father. The hour is come. Jesus is praying for his disciples. Verse 6. Look at that. It's amazing, isn't it? We've covered these verses. And it's fun with this book. Did you know that I can sit down with the nursing home believers and patients and residents and nursing staff? They eavesdrop. That got Lydia in trouble, didn't it? And so there was someone eavesdropping, and they followed us out of the nursing home. We had to lead them to the Lord. And if you don't believe me, ask Cheryl. She was with me. And so we had our work cut out for us. And so it says here, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. Acts 1:14, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. Philippians 4:6, something like that. I can't read it hardly. My eyes are starting to fail me. Matter of fact, they're getting so bad I can't shoot my groundhogs from the house from here to the building, because the pattern sights, I can't get them locked in on something that small anymore on the Springfield. So I went to a 204 with a 305 scope on it. And you can turn that fine tuning on that scope and count the hairs on his nose. And so I'm telling you, this prayer is examining your heart, and he can see every hair on your head. And so, another joke. The hour has come. Jesus is praying for his disciples. Verse 6. He says it like this. I have manifested thy name unto thee, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Then they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. So, we know that the hour has come. Jesus is praying for his disciples. Jesus is in the will of the Father. We know that. He's praying this prayer on the grounds that he knows the will of the Father. We went back and looked, and then we went forward and looked. John, we have the whole canon to know the will of God. And if you can't take the time to search the scriptures, it's shame on you. Because I have to search the scriptures to preach like this. I have to search the scriptures just to witness to those residents in the nursing home. And I'm telling you, there's different residents all the time in these nursing homes. And these nursing homes, since COVID, they're begging me to come into the nursing home. I can't even keep up with all the requests to go in and minister the gospel. And I have my team of people that want to follow and be a part of that, and they're faithful. But I'm telling you, the faithfulness that's examined in this prayer is is way beyond our faithfulness because He is faithful. And when we're not as faithful as we should be, He is still faithful to us. He never fails. Amen. He is faithful. And so we know that He was faithful to these men of God. These servants. They were the servants of God. They weren't the servants. I was just asked to open up a food pantry in the church by a dear brother that had laid out a church for years. And I kept praying for him. I kept being nice to him. I even sang with his wife in the church. Dear Susie Smith. She's our Sunday school teacher, one of them. And she's a marvelous Sunday school teacher. Marvelous. And I would sing with her in the church because she loves to sing. I was a good fit. I could sing high and she could sing low. I mean, she's got a nice voice. probably should be reversed, but it's not that way. But anyhow, he knew that. And so he finally just gave in and came to church. Laid out for years and came to church. And then he got on fire for the Lord and he was requesting for us to start a food pantry. But he visits with us now. He goes door to door. He goes street preaching. He works at the church. He even helps me when I don't even invite him to help me on some job that someone called me out to do electrical work. Because he's a retired electrician too. And so this man came back into the church, Don Smith. And he wanted to start a food pantry. And he asked us to pray about it. And we prayed about it, and I told the pastor and the men, I said, we're not going to do that. And so in the wisdom of being a trustee, I said, we're not going to do that because we're the servants of God. And all of them looked at me like, oh, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to serve the public. We're going to be the servants of God and keep doing what He's got us doing right now because the churches are failing to do that. Amen. You can go. And I'm being honest with you. This prayer is examining that very wisdom, that very heart of God, and that faithfulness to us. And I had to tell that man that we were not going to do that in men's prayer meeting. We split up the church, the women on one side and men on the other, because the ladies think different and have different requests, and the men think different and they have different requests. And so we split up. And I had to tell him in that meeting that we're not going to do that in order to be kind to him and to let him understand that we're going to be the servants of God. And then that was it. You see, he's praying for these apostles to be the servants of God. And so I got to move on. So what is this? What are we getting into here? We're approaching the preservation of the saints, aren't we? The preservation of the believers. There's this preservation. So we looked at the will. Now we're looking at the preservation. And so we know that the disciples, none of them is lost. Isn't that an amazing thing to say? Verse 12, while I was with them in the world. Now this is amazing. This is the preservation. Don't miss this in the prayer. I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Tammy? See, she didn't know me, and she didn't know what was going on here at the camp. But I told her I was a fixture around here. She likes jokes, but she's a dear lady. She's here from Canada, and we love that she came with Carol. Is it Carol? Carly. All right. So none of them is lost. Now I got to move on. They make the exception of Judas Iscariot. What was his problem? Appearance. What's your problem if you're here and you're trying to fool everyone that you're saved? Appearance. It's a dangerous sin. It's a dangerous sin, it's on you. Notice what it says here. It was on Judas. It's on you. So don't do it in appearance. Make sure that you're genuine, because this prayer is the high priestly prayer for you to be fully saved, fully purified, fully reconciled. How did he reconcile you? With his life. Fully atoned with his blood. And so you need to understand these things that Dr. Dickerson is preaching to you. Absorb them, because that's how I learned. I learned by sitting underneath these men. My seminary years were good, and I did graduate, but the richest part of my salvation and preaching and serving and being a servant and knowing the kindness and knowing the wisdom and the understanding and the truth and honesty and all that integrity is right here in this camp. So there's a lot of things here I wanted to share with you, but I got to move on, stay on schedule here. And this is the second part of the message. And we always went from the Lord's will, knowing on the grounds of the will of the Father. And now we're into the preservation of the his apostles. And then also we move into the Christ has the greater power. Jesus Christ has the greater power. See, this prayer, because of its depth, because of the integrity of it, because he was preparing himself to pray this prayer, the hour has come. The hour has come. He wanted to go home. This world is not my home. Another memory verse is 17:18. You want to memorize this. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. As thou hast sent me into the world, even though send you and I into the world. He's sending us. He has the power to do that. And so I'm glad he has the power to do that. I would fail. And he has never failed. I've fallen short. I was in Suriname, and I couldn't roll the R's. I'm very clumsy at trying to learn languages. I couldn't learn Greek. My poor Greek teacher, he ended up being a very dear friend of mine, a dear pastor friend of mine. But he is highly intelligent. But he was a really good Greek teacher, and he did his very best. And he knew he had done his very best, and he didn't want me to leave the ministry. And so David Greger took me under his arm and was kind to me and passed me through the class. and he even called me one of his children. So our first memory verse was John 17:3. But memorize this verse also, 17:18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. It's a powerful prayer, isn't it? It will not only show you your need to be saved, it will show you your need after you're saved to seek the Lord's will. Know the Lord's will in your life. And then that's how I'm a fixture around here. I know the Lord's will for that. And so you can see the close relationship between the Father and the Son. There's the knowledge, there's the glory, the power, and the love. And so you can see the in the verse, Christ's intercession for the unredeemed. You can see in the verse, you can look unto Jesus Christ to be saved. So this second memory verse is very important. Is you look unto Christ, looking unto heaven, the hour has come. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. You can't say that unless you're saved. The hour has come. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You see, the greatest treasures you'll have in life are the treasures that this world has nothing to do with. Beginning with your salvation, beginning with your knowing the will of the Father, beginning with your service to the Lord Jesus Christ, and so forth. There's nothing that can touch that. The hour has come. Jesus Christ reaches out to the Gentile, doesn't he? in verse 20. Says it here, neither pray I for those alone, these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And you see, these apostles were going to be the pillars of the church, and they're the ones who were going to pick up where Christ left off. He commissioned them. And then he said, I still want 12, and he added to them in the book of Acts in chapter 1. And so he wanted 12, and then he had as many as 70 more. And you think you're the only one that can serve the Lord Jesus Christ and that the whole world revolves around you? No! There are 70 more somewhere else that can do just what you're doing. And they can become a fixture here just as well. And so Jesus Christ reaches out to the Gentile. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. He reaches out to the church, doesn't he? That they all may be one. That they all may be one. Verse 21, as thou, Father, art in me, and I am in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Do you know that I went to the nursing home here in PA. I had no idea that I was going to go to a nursing home. I went over to Jonathan Hill's church and I surprised him. I snuck up on him. He didn't even know who I was in a suit and tie. If I would have been dressed like this, he's, oh, that's Earl. And now he's staring at me. And then but his church took me in. They had a meal that day. I mean, I'm just like the blind guy going around serving the Lord. And they fed me, they preached to me, and then they took me to the nursing home where I am most comfortable with the gospel. And I was running around with all those people shaking their hands and helping them get to the songs. And guess how Pastor Hill ministered the gospel there? He had his hymnal and he was opening up. He didn't have these scriptures like I have, and he was ministering that hymn. They would pick it out. They would sing it, and he would turn into the Bible. That's how well he knows the will of the Father. That's how well he is the servant of God. And he would turn to that passage in Scripture and expound on the Word of God in relation to that song that that hymn writer wrote. And so I really enjoyed that. And so I'm telling you, if you can't preach after that, you're messed up. And so the hour has come. The hour has come. Jesus is reaching out to us. Jesus has the power to redeem all that the Father has given him and lose none. That's what he's telling you. He prays for the preservation. He prays for the sanctification. He prays for the unity. He prays. And if we do not pray, we're messed up because we cannot accomplish what he has asked us to do because he has given us that tool by example, by his life, and by the Father's will that we should do it and we should practice it. And so he prays for the glorification. The one final act and conduct of prayer is the love that is between the Father and the Son. John 17, 23 through 26. And I'll close with this. I got to quit. But this prayer is not done. I'm still learning. And I'm still going to preach it. Amen. And I'm still going to use it. Because I always, at my age, there's things that I have not preached. And I want to preach it. And so time's running out. I'm on borrowed time. And so I know I've got, these are my bonus years. And so here's how it goes. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. See, our perfection is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Do you know that the world knows that you're sent and that you're his servant? Try going out to the street and have a Catholic priest pull up in his car and roll his window down and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. That's not right. You shouldn't be out here preaching the gospel. You should be letting us tell you how to behave yourselves with the gospel. Yeah. And they have no idea about this prayer, do they? I've heard them preach. It is weird how they preach. For Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. There's a glory that is beyond you and I, but we can get busy and know that we're bringing glory to God the Father in heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we can get busy. And we're bringing him glory. And he's pleased with it. He's pleased with those that will pray. He's pleased with those that will serve. Oh, righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name. And will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is grace. He's the embodiment of grace, but he's the embodiment of the love of God. God sent his love to us. That the Lord Jesus Christ would do the will of the Father. He said, I will not let this cup pass from me. And so he would not let the cup pass from him. And then he went to his cross, didn't he? And he paid the price for our sin. Oh, man. If I didn't have that payment, I'd be in trouble. There's only one thing in my life that came that resembles that forgiveness and that payment. I was in trouble. I was a little bad, you know. I wasn't saved, and I was getting in trouble. And to tell you the truth, I like to blow things up. And so I was blowing things up, and I was getting in trouble. So that became a record, right? Well, if you get a real nice lawyer, a really good lawyer, and you want to pay the money, they'll expunge that record. That record, I checked. You can't find that record anywhere. I've been employed in mining operations. That record would keep me from being in the mine. And so I was even employed so I could work in Canada underground. And so it was expunged. But you know what? It is not near what this expunge is here. It's not near the salvation that's here. It's not near the will of the Father here. It's not near the love. It's not near the grace. Saved by grace through faith. I've got to let you go. He prays for you. He does. I just wanted to share that with you. And if you want to see the hymnal, you just feel free. It'll be sitting here in the bench. I got to quit.